Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, did you get my pictures?
Yeah,
listen, this is the problem that I have. This is a fucking nightmare for me.
Okay.
Because I can't function in the world of nostalgia.
Hello, and welcome to Memory Lane. I'm Jen Brister.
And I'm Kerry Godleyman. Each week, we'll be taking a trip down memory lane with our very special guest as they bring in four photos from their lives to talk about.
To check out the photos we'll be having a natter with them about, they're on the episode image, and you can also see them a little bit more clearly on our Instagram page. So have a little look at Memory Lane Podcast.
Come on, we can all be nosy together.
Well, let's start. We can even talk about how there's loads, but we're only going to pick one.
Yeah, no, we're talking. We are talking about that. Look, I cannot pick. Yeah,
no,
this
we
is
started.
Talking.
We haven't started.
Talking is starting.
We haven't started.
Started is talking is starting.
No, talking is not.
We've discussed this. It's a flaccid opening.
It's not flaccid. Fucking hell, you're not supposed to call it flaccid.
That's
no, it's a soft opening.
Soft opening. That's it. But I think I like flaccid.
Right. Okay. Now we've started. We've started now.
Okay.
So that bit, whatever was before, we haven't started.
That's going in.
Yeah, that's not, can't go in. That was just me saying, have we started for about 2 minutes?
Stop saying, have we started?
I thought we were going to look. Right, okay. So we're talking to you, Kerry, about your photographs.
Yeah, because basically we had a guest who couldn't make it, so now we've decided.
People don't need to know all the information.
It's all content. Yeah, they do. They want it.
Do they?
Yes, it's
it.
Like okay. Behind the curtain, isn't it?
All right. Well, someone didn't turn up. It was and so now we're talking to Kerry's talking to herself and I'm talking with her about your photographs, Kerry, which, by the way, there are some absolute bangers here of you as a little one.
I didn't go into the boxes in the loft because then I don't think I'd have made it today. Because once I get into looking at old photos, I disappear.
Well, I like that the last message you sent after sending all of those photos was shit. I've lost it. I'm going to bed. After you sent about...
And these are the ones that
12...
are just in my phone.
No, you sent me about 15 photos, yeah, of which we only need five.
Yeah. I can't cope with it. Initially, I just thought, I'll send you some funny photos with a couple of little stories.
And then you
went... And then I get caught up in...
In the nostalgia of it.
Yeah, and the narcissism of my biography, where I'm like, oh, I was born in 1973. It was a winter's night. I can't get my shoes on and get out the door because I'm just absorbed in nostalgia.
I want to first go to this picture of you. Look, we're going to, because these are all of you as a little one.
Some of them as a little one, and then some are like attached to
and some of them
jobs
you're...
and more over the last few
years.
Oh, yeah,
years, yeah, but let's look at these ones of when you're small first.
Okay,
so we've got
okay,
one of
okay.
you here, and you're in a yellow swimming costume. You've got a lovely sun hat on,
yeah,
Kerry.
I mean,
what
it screams
cute...
the 1970s, doesn't
you're very
it?
Very cute, weren't you, when you were a kid?
I think I was, babe.
I think you were.
I was cute.
Yeah, you were cute. You look at your little cheeky face. And where was that? That looks very British to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I looks don't like know a... off the top of my head, but I'd speculate it's Dorset or somewhere like that.
Classic English holiday. So is that what you, when you were a youngster, is that what you did with the family? You went, did you?
We did a lot of camping.
Holidays.
Camping
in
England.
No, we didn't do camping.
We
stayed in chalets and in
What's
caravans.
A chalet?
You know, like if you go to Butlins, prefab.
No, we didn't do any of that. We went camping.
Okay.
We were proper camping.
Well,
so I kind of think, right, fair enough. I mean, I'm sort of coming
Four
around
kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's really hard. But they're so cheap. They're cheap holidays. And then, you know, you get...
But you still love camping. It's not like you've lost... I think Chloe's the same. she loves camping, and there is a nostalgia.
It must be childhood.
Yeah, it's like she goes, oh, it just really reminds me of when I was a kid and we used to go to the New Forest. And I'm like, it sounds horrific. Especially when she showed me
the tent they stayed in.
Yes, you look very happy.
Yeah.
You look really happy.
We used to have a lot of really good holidays when I was a kid. I think when I was little.
Did your mum enjoy them?
Yeah, she loved them.
Did she?
Yeah. I've spoken to her about it since and she did. And now I feel like I'm constantly trying to recreate. So for my children, I'm obsessed with holidays. I go mad when I'm booking a holiday.
I know.
You know, I've looped you in on it.
Yeah.
I get really into it. And I'm sure that a bit of it is trying to recreate my childhood. Because I did have really lovely holidays as a kid.
Yeah.
I could do a whole episode of this.
Just on your holidays.
Just
that's
holidays.
A different podcast, Kerry.
Yeah, and then I could do one on worky sort of pictures, and then I could do one on family picture. I can't pin my life down to four photos.
Do you know what this podcast is? Because you are one of
really
the hosts.
Now bad that we ask people to do this. It's
I know,
hard.
It is hard, which is why we just say keep it vague, mate. Keep it general.
Yeah, I'm not good
you've
at that.
You've gone very specific.
I've gone mad.
Given
gone
about.
Mad. I have got a lot of time on my hands at the moment.
I know, I'm beginning to wish you had a job now. Maybe if you had less time, we'd have less photos.
I do have a lot of free time. So I did have a lot of opportunity to look at these pictures. So, yes, my childhood was in the 70s. That's probably in Dorset. And
it's
all my
childhood
pictures scream of the 70s. They've got that. You
that
have
tone.
Filters for that now, don't you?
Well, all of the pictures have that kind of 70s sheen to it, where it's sort of like, everything looks a little bit faded.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of...
Sepia.
It's got a tinge that you could definitely put on Instagram now, and you've got it, you've created it naturally.
Yeah, totally. So but I quite like the aesthetic of, like, I know we're not going to do all of them, but
no, for the love
when
of
you
Christ.
Put, I do quite like that. I had a slightly that one you liked me in the green dungarees.
You
I had a slightly
cute. I had
bohemian-y, like my mum and dad were a bit hippie-ish. So things like that I quite like. I quite like it that. Clearly, my enthusiasm for gardening is evident from my childhood. Like, I was just looking at that one of me in a Spanish dress, and there's like loads of really orderly leeks growing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I think some of my enthusiasms can be found in these pictures.
Well, I mean, you have very specific hobbies that you love. One of them is holidays. And one of them is gardening,
camping,
and we can see all of those in each of these photographs. And I love that in I think at least three of them in all of them you're wearing a beaded necklace. What's that about?
I've still got that beaded necklace.
Did your mum just like to put you in choking?
Oh yeah, you're right. I have got the same little I wear that now and then as an ankle chain now. Yeah, it still goes around my
Where's it from? Why did your mum...
I don't know. Like I said, my mum was a bit of a hippie. She used to have a stall up Portobello Road when I was little.
Yeah.
And I just had a lot of retro... Me in that Spanish dress, that's probably literally a vintage Spanish dress. I mean, like, I just had...
It.
She always had beads and necklaces and like sort of chunky jewellery. And oh, that shirt I'm wearing with those dungarees is probably a 1940s shirt. It looks it. I just always had that sort of gear.
Well, you look like you had, I mean...
I still
so you,
got that hairdo as well.
Where did you... you got the bangs. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Greenford, in the borough of Ealing.
So that's West London.
Yeah, West London. End of the Central Line.
Do your parents still sort of live around
They
there?
Still live in the same house that I grew up in.
That's mad.
That
no
my mum has relentlessly slagged off. I mean, apologies to anyone listening from Greenford, but it's not great. It's not a great place. And my mum has always hated it. And she still lives there.
Why don't your parents move? They can move. Well, they are aware of it. That's the $1 million question,
My dad
isn't
won't
it?
Move. My dad won't move. My dad's from North Ault, which is one stop along on the Central Line.
So he's already moved.
He's done his big move.
He's done a big move already. He can't move twice in a lifetime.
Yeah.
That's a lot, actually.
Yeah, he did it. It was huge. He went one stop. I'm sure he didn't carry all his gear one stop. But... And I used to do that same journey one stop back to North Ault to go to my secondary school, North Ault High.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
It's so weird, like, because I grew up also in the suburbs.
Yeah, you're Kingston, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Kingston. But because we didn't have that connection, like, we got, you know, you could get the train to Waterloo. We went on a tube. Mm. I think there's a different kind of vibe of the end of the tube line.
Yeah, there's a definite distinct, because I was thinking about this the other day, because I remember getting the tube to school and we used to look at the tube and it was like this access to the world.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the other end of the central line and thinking, ooh, what goes on in Ongar?
What does go
what
on in Ongar?
What goes on in Ongar? I don't even know if the central line goes to Ongar anymore. Someone once told me it's in Essex.
It does go all the way to Essex, Woodford and around that Epping.
Yeah, it used to go all the way to Ongar. And I used to sort of imagine, what if I just stayed on this train and went all the way?
You were dreaming big.
I was dreaming big.
I would have said stop at Tottenham Court Road and
get off.
Yeah,
no, get off. Yeah.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
All of these are like really cute. And there's a picture. There's a couple of pictures here where you're with your mum and your brother, who I have met a couple of times at Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah, you hung out with my brother.
And were you and your brother close?
Not massively so. Like, we're quite a big age gap.
There's quite a big gap, isn't there?
Yeah,
so
we're
what's
6 year age gap.
Is it six?
Yeah, it's quite big, isn't it? We're close. We sort of got closer as we've become adults. But as we were, when we were kids.
Oh, six is too big.
It's too big. Like, we were never at the same school at the same time.
No, not you.
We didn't even go to the same secondary schools.
No, I didn't go to the same secondary schools as my brothers because they went to a grammar school and I went to a convent all girls school.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, that's another podcast.
But yeah, that's a podcast in itself.
See, I went to a comprehensive school in Northolt, and it was the same school that used to be my dad's secondary modern and my uncle and aunt's grammar.
Bloody
so they combined
hell, you
the old grammar.
Absolutely kept it in the family. This
well,
whole
this is,
staying
yeah,
in West
I mean,
London.
That, I mean, that is what people sort of did for hundreds of years, they just stayed in their path.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live in Greenford now. I wouldn't want to live over that side now.
I know there's something about once you leave, and I really felt this once I left Kingston. I was like, I can't go back.
No.
I've left.
But Kingston's quite nice, but yeah, you wouldn't want to go back. My mum had a stall at Portobello Road, and my dad worked up at Portobello Road.
You could have moved that way.
They tried. They looked at
that's
it.
That's where my dad...
But they didn't have any money. Yeah. They didn't have that sort of money.
But that's weird, because that's where my dad's from. His whole family are from Westbourne Park,
yeah,
Paddington.
Yeah, see, that whole patch is lovely. And my mum would have gone in a blink. She would have gone and fully lived that bohemian lifestyle.
Yeah, your mum would have been happy in a flat.
But
in Notting
my dad
Hill.
Wouldn't go. And they couldn't quite afford it. They weren't quite in that sort of price bracket.
No one is.
No, certainly not now.
No one is in that price bracket. Even
but I did used to love being up Portobello Road when I was a kid. It's a very vivid memory of being like sat on her stall. She used to sell secondhand clothes.
I was going to ask what your mum sold.
Yeah, she used to sell secondhand vintagey clothes. They didn't call, they called them secondhand then. All these phrases like vintage, pre-loved.
Yeah.
You know, but they weren't used. It was secondhand clothes. She had loads of 40s and 50s gear. There used to be a record shop down the end of the, because it was one of those old arcades, and there was a bloke who sold old like vinyl records at the end. So the music is quite vivid. In fact, that whole area, the music is very vivid.
The music
there.
In that part of London is always, for me, sort of like a mixture of kind of like
reggae
and
a lot
ska
of reggae, because it's sort of Carnival Patch.
Yeah.
And weirdly, like I always associate the Clash with that area as well.
Yeah.
I remember loving it as a kid, and I do feel like...
If you go there now, it's nothing like... It doesn't. Like when I go to Notting Hill now, because we used to go
the
to
the market's
Notting.
Still got a good vibe. I still now and then go to
but it doesn't
Bellarose.
Feel the same. It was so hectic back then and it was all mishmashed. And
quite like it. That market under the Westway is really good.
We used to go that way because there was a Spanish shop.
Yeah.
And my mum would go there to buy all the stuff that she can't get. Because, you know, where we lived, there was nowhere to buy all that stuff. So we would go there and my mum would, like, buy all of her, like, Spanish stuff, you know, like, whatever it was. She used to buy, like, tins of squid and, I don't know, like, sugared almonds and all the kind of treats and stuff that my mum...
Taste of home.
So that's why we would go up. You know, not that often, maybe once every 3 months
or
something.
Did you ever go to Carnival?
Not when we were kids, because I think my mum was like, it's just too hectic.
Yeah, it's full on.
So I didn't go until I was an adult, until I was like in my 20s.
Yeah. It's good fun though.
It was
really I've only been fun. A few times, but...
Except if you need the toilet and then it becomes...
The one time it worked for me, Carnival, you know when things come together, a friend happened to be renting a flat on
the route. Oh, well then, you're having
and
a different time.
I'm never going to get that back. That was the one time I could enjoy it because I could piss.
Yeah, that's all I want from a carnival, I've realised, is a beer and access to a toilet.
Yeah,
and if you can't give me, if one or the other isn't available, access to a toilet but no beer, again, it's not the same.
I won't be coming.
I won't be going. I'm not going to enjoy it.
But my dad worked then in a shop, because my dad's a violin maker and restorer.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever known what your father does.
Yeah, he's a violin maker.
Dad is a violin maker.
Which
oh my
mad,
God,
isn't it?
Kerry, that is
isn't
so
that weird?
Niche.
It's like something from a fairy tale.
What do you mean?
Okay, so the story of my dad, because it is funny.
But there's no pictures of your dad here.
No, I don't know why. I'll bring one in next time. I've got some lovely pictures of my dad. He left school at 16, went straight into an apprenticeship that happened to be making violins.
Was that something that he was like, oh,
no,
yeah.
He could have as easily gone to become an electrician or a plumber. He just went for that apprenticeship. But
I see your dad is very much a one-route kind of guy.
Well, he just left school. That's what they did. It was that sort of boom age. I don't know what year it would have been. And he just got an apprenticeship. And that's, I mean, as it happens, I think he
must have enjoyed it.
He was quite attracted to, it's called a luthier violin maker.
How many violin makers are there in the world?
Quite. And it's not like, I think some musical instruments, you can just make them with machines, obviously, in the 20th century. But they are still the ones that are made by hand.
Violins are?
Yeah. I think you can make them mass produced by a machine, but they're preferred, you know, proper musicians prefer a handmade instrument.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't like we were rich on it, but he had a good job and he did a proper apprenticeship for a firm.
So who did he work for?
He worked for a company, I think they were called Cranston's. Or maybe that came later. That
I
was
don't know anything about violins.
One.
I've just asked you a question.
Oh, God, that's
going
to drive me mad because the building is still there in Hanwell where he trained. It's gone out of my head. But anyway, he did it from the age of 16 and then they trained him up and then he worked there for some years and then him and a few colleagues set up their own company and that's when they had the shop.
So that must feel, that's like a formative part of your, that area is a formative part of
your
growing
up. Yeah, on a Saturday.
Up.
Yeah, on a Saturday, that was quite a big part. Like, I would have gone every Saturday with my mum to the store.
Wow. Do you take the kids? I mean, like...
Rarely, now and then. But I don't know anyone over that patch.
No, I know, but there's something about...
And then
when
I was a bit older, my dad went self-employed. And so through most of... From about the age of, well, I don't know, about 10, my dad worked from home. He just always worked in the garage. Before it was a thing, working from home.
Before COVID?
Yeah. Before working from home was a thing, my dad was in the shed.
That must have done your mum's head in.
Oh, no, she loved it because it meant she could go out and do what she wanted to do. Oh. My dad was at home.
Oh,
my dad was like doing school, you know, all the drops and picks and teas.
Yeah.
I mean, my mum was around as well, but I was never scared of this life that we have, this self-employed life.
No, my dad was...
Because my mum and dad were around.
Yeah, my dad was self-employed, so I always feel like, or always worked
normal.
On, he was a contractor, so he always worked on a contract.
What did your dad do?
Structural engineering. And
That's a proper job. And did that from school. Same generation, they got proper apprenticeships.
Yeah,
they got a trade. Jen.
I mean, look, we can't go into what my dad does because he's such a wily bloke. But
that's wily dads.
Yeah. In fact, that's 22 years in therapy. But his apprenticeship was draftsman,
right.
And then that was the first stage into structural engineering. And then you could stay as a draftsman. You didn't need to move up. But he wanted to make more money, and he wanted to, you know, be able to have more choices in terms of, because my dad never wanted to work from one firm. He wanted to be able to go, I'll work here for a bit, then I'll work here for a bit, then I'll work here
Which
for a bit.
Which now is completely normal.
Absolutely, but was completely not normal back then. It was normal that you got a job, you stayed at the job, and you stayed there until you retired.
Yeah.
But he was like, nah, I don't want to do that. I want to work here, I want to work there, I want to be a little bit of cheeky thing, get
Which
extra cash there. Yeah, so that's what he did. And so he was always, one of the things I always got from my dad was like, you don't have to work for anyone. You can always work for yourself.
But look at what we do now. There's got to be something in...
All of my brothers are... All
got
of
proper
the,
jobs.
No, we're all... None of us have ever had
See, I think there must be
jobs.
Something in that. Like, I just was always... I saw how my mum and dad worked, and they were both always freelancers. The one time my mum had a job, she worked for Bentalls in Ealing Broadway. And then they sacked her because she wouldn't wear flesh-coloured tights. And she'd argue the toss with them about what colour flesh they didn't specify.
That's so true. You had to wear flesh-coloured tights.
And she was like, well, you didn't say what colour flesh. And they were like, don't be facetious. She got laid off.
I love it. No, your mum wasn't meant to have a boss.
She wasn't meant to have a boss and be told to wear flesh-coloured tights.
Or be told to do anything, frankly. Mm-mm. Yeah. No. Fair play.
So, yeah, that was the only time that my mum had a sort of... I mean, I think she had jobs over the years, but my mum and dad were both freelancers and they always worked for themselves.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC Injectable Gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's J-U-V-E-D. Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergic to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay, well, we're looking at this photograph of you in... What the hell are you wearing?
Right, I'm in Svalbard.
Which is in Norway.
It's an island more northerly than Norway. It's wow. Like the most northerly... It's the most northerly inhabited part of the world.
What? Because you were
there
for a...
There.
Yeah, what was the show that you were filming?
So I was filming a thing called Treadstone, which was like a spin-off from the
yes.
Bourne films.
Treadstone. Didn't you have to go to... I thought you had to go to Budapest for that for some reason.
Yeah, I did. I was in Budapest loads. And then we had a couple of scenes that were set in Alaska. So it was shot in Svalbard. And I was there for literally 24 hours, flown in. There were all kinds of problems with the... I remember when we were on a tiny little jet... And it was genuinely dangerous. And one of the other actors who was ex-military sort of casually said, this is bad.
What do you mean?
You know those flaps? I mean, I don't know what the proper term is, but when you're on an aeroplane and
yeah.
those flap bits.
Oh, those flap bits
frozen,
flap up and down.
They were frozen.
Oh,
and I think they're quite
bad.
Key to aerodynamics.
I think they might be, yeah.
And
I
he
think
looked
anything
out the window,
to do with the wings is key.
Yeah, it's all key.
It's quite key, yeah.
And he looked out the window and just went, That's bad. That's bad. Like, would you make, I mean, I, what? Starting what? To feel like you're on one of, you know, that we're, this yeah. is, but like, no, we're not going to come back.
Oh my God. What happened?
We had to turn around and go back to, so we'd been in the air, we were circling Svalbard.
Yeah.
And then they went, we can't land because of these flaps. Because of these frozen flaps.
Okay.
So we had to go back to Norway, to the mainland of Norway.
Right, okay. Where were you flying from in Norway?
Some northerly part, I don't know. Not Oslo. We were north. We were
somewhere else. No, no. You'd have to be if you were in one of those
It was chaos. It was a really chaotic thing. But it was also quite exciting. Like, things like that are quite... Like, I didn't genuinely think we were going to crash. I just felt like it was fine. It was quite an adventure. But anyway... Do you remember years ago when you did my radio show and we did a sketch? You did a sketch where you played an Australian paddy instructor.
Yeah.
So I've always had this sort of slight fascination with when you're in a situation where people are, so people go to Svalbard for pleasure, right?
Yeah, sure.
For fun. There's tourism there.
I bet.
But basically, it's fucking dangerous. So I'm dressed I'm dressed up like that because the temperature is so
cold
that they say if you get your hand out to do something,
your hand will
your
fall
hand
off.
Might fall off. And that if you go outside a certain part
why
of
the... Why are
they
filming it there? Can't they film somewhere with ice and just go and pretend
exactly,
it's cold?
Exactly. It was mad. And like they said, don't go out of this particular vicinity. And if you do, take a gun. Because
if you do, take a gun?
Yeah, because there's like polar bears walking about. So, you know when you're like being told that something's fun...
Who's
like that paddy thing when they
thing?
Were trying to describe like getting the bends and I'm like, I'm on holiday and they're talking about like bleed on the brain. And then I just find these circumstances quite funny where you're like, I'm not, I mean, there's peril. There's genuine
and
jeopardy.
Also, I'm just here to do a little bit of
either
acting.
A nice time or just film a scene.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? A gun?
Also, but the best one in the world, Kerry,
clothes.
You can't move in this.
I couldn't
if
move.
Something's coming for you, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. What are you going to do, roll over, roll away from it?
I mean, that is what I was told to wear. That's not me dressing up for laughs. I was put in that gear and told...
It does look really beautiful. There's something about the light there.
Oh, it was really stunning. It really, really was beautiful.
That is quite... I mean, those sort of... places like I've never thought of anything as quite as extreme
you'd
as that,
never
but...
go
no
unless but... in this circumstance for work
exactly but they do look quite sort of
magical.
Breathtaking and magical
yeah, it
don't
was
they?
It really was
I'm
glad I was only there a day. I don't think I'd have wanted or needed to be there, but oh, how about this for bleak? They've got a seed vault there.
Yes, I've heard about this. Mm. In case of Armageddon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So every seed of every plant all over the world. And it's kept there because the temperature is
cold enough. Yeah.
In theory, to reboot agriculture.
Oh, my God. That is one of the bleakest things.
Isn't it?
I mean, I'm glad it's there because God knows we're heading that way. But that is bleak.
Yeah.
That's bleak, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, I just thought I'd tell you. I thought that picture would be able to...
Absolutely. Good to end on a high.
Well, there were other options, but I just thought that picture was amusing.
It is amusing. And do you know what? I mean, like, we... the circumstances of...
We've gone from 70s childhood to Armageddon.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've missed
what
quite,
a journey.
We've missed quite a lot of photographs in between. And in between that, Kerry became a stand-up comedian. And actor.
Listen,
the end.
I've treated this as an opportunity to just do a lucky dip of various pictures.
Yeah.
So if and when we take...
We can do another lucky dip.
We can do another one of these.
We can do another lucky dip for when another guest doesn't turn up.
You can bring me... Oh, we did do an episode with you, but I'm sure
you've done it. There's nothing else to say.
Come on, don't be ridiculous.
No, we've really milked it.
In fact, fuck the guests. Let's just keep going with this shit.
Anyway... this has been fun. Let's do it again, Kerry. This is Kerry Godleyman's Memory Lane podcast, part one. Let me tell you, it's not going to be the last time we talk to Kerry about her life and her photographs.